broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico. Bill Hendry.
We said all along that one of the most important things in this case would be those that spent time.
He's
with
probably one of the greatest child molesting directors of all time.
The Republican health care plan is this. Die quickly.
One good thing about Barack Obama going to Copenhagen and arguing for the United
States. Why did we buy Alaska in the 1950s?
I find him terrifying.
World famous Phil Hendry Show. Every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast. 4 a.m. on the East Coast. The news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what in the blazes it's talking about. God almighty, man. Somebody's got to do this job, and we're here to do it every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. Truth is our bitch on this show. And this is the place where all of those Republicans and Democrats and conservatives and progressives, all of those people, they come here and they die. And they die slow and they die painful. They get spanked. They get their ass handed to them. That's what happens to them on this show, because what we're about on this program is telling you what's going on. Let me tell you what's going on. In the next segment, you're going to hear me talking about crazy people. Crazy people as in Republicans, crazy people as in Democrats. People that cannot get out of their own way. They can't get out of our way. People that will until the day they die, and perhaps days and even weeks after they lie moldering in the ground, will continue to talk about how the other guy was the problem. I got Michelle Bachmann here. You know who she is? She's a congresswoman from Minnesota. I think she's great. Seriously. She has found, in whatever little neck of the woods she resides in there in Minnesota, whatever little neck of the woods she represents in Minnesota, she's found a group of people so gullible or so hungry for quality entertainment that they decided to send her dopey little ass to Washington, where she goes on about amazing things, you know, truly. In fact, most of them escape my memory right now, but I know that if I went back here into where we generally keep the GIMP, you know, back there in the in that box.
Yeah, bring out the GIMP.
Right, well, that's where we also keep Michelle Bachmann. I would find examples of this congresswoman from Minnesota's perception and grasp of reality. But if you think it's just about Michelle Bachmann and Republicans, it ain't about Michelle Bachmann and Republicans, because I got Nancy Pelosi. And Nancy Pelosi, even though she's got a member of her own party, this guy Grayson, who is as arrogant a turd that ever fell out of a bull's ass. Seriously, this guy is, in his mind, he is absolutely convinced that the real problem here are Republicans. Let me explain something to you, Grayson. We tried to do this last night. As a guy that supports the president's health care reform plans, I am one of his supporters. I'm not one of your supporters. I wouldn't know you, man, if you turned up in my garbage one day. I support the president's plan. Whoever you are, I would suggest that what you do is stop giving the other side, in this case the Republicans, all the ammunition they need to say, look at the arrogance. Look at the get a load of the Marxist-Leninist. You see, you think you're doing everybody a favor by coming out and being bold and saying the Republicans want to kill everybody and the Republicans are this and the Republicans are that. You're not winning any friends. You're not convincing any voters. You're not persuading anybody that may be on the fence. You're just acting like a real horse's ass because it's the 11th hour and you're all cranky and you're tired and you're sick and tired of having to have this debate. And you want, maybe in your own personal life, this is the way things are, you want everything to go your way. So you come out and you say it, and the Republicans, they want just everybody to die. I'm really pissed off. So we got that jackass. There's no difference between these people. There's no difference. It's not about what they believe. It's not about what they are promoting. In some instances, they promote good things. In other instances, they don't promote things that are very good. In some instances, they're backing up an idea that may be quality. In another instance, they may not be backing up a very quality idea. But there's no difference between. There's no difference between Pelosi and Bachmann. Now, here's a guy who is in the United States House of Representatives. He's a Democrat. He is a subservient one, or subordinate, I should say. Maybe he is subservient. I don't know what's going on after hours.
What are you talking about? Like he's servicing her and everything?
Well, you didn't have to put it out there, man.
We get the joke, man.
He's subordinate to Nancy Pelosi. Don't you think she ought to say to him, listen, Charlie, we got an uphill battle as it is. Do you understand? When you stand up there with your big fat mouth, all you're doing is pissing off. Well, I don't care about those guys. It isn't about those guys across the aisle. It's about the people that are watching you on C-SPAN. Now, as far as you're concerned, Pelosi, the way not to react to it is not to say what you did say, which is, well, you know, let's move on. Because the Republicans, they haven't, I got to tell you something. I understand that this plays well with a lot of people because they still think it's about Republicans and Democrats. I got news for you. It ain't about Republicans and Democrats. And you heard it here first. And this is where you're going to constantly hear about it. And this is where I'm going to be talking about it until they drag me out of here kicking and screaming. This is where you are going to hear the truth. It's not about those guys are hanging us up. It's not about that guy over there is screwing me up. It's not about everything would be peachy dandy if it wasn't for the guy over there because I'm okay. We can't get anything done because even if you have something that makes sense, rather than just sell it on its merits, it's got to be about how those guys are hanging everybody up. Well, what do you think happens, man, when you start talking about you and you and you and you screwing my life up? You and you and you and you, they might have something to say about it. Like, I ain't doing nothing. You're the guy that's doing it. And the next thing you know, you got a worthless, worthless, pointless conversation going on about who's better and whose crap smells better. Here's Michelle Bachmann. Schools might start offering abortions if health care reform passes, Representative Michelle Bachmann of Minnesota warned last night. Speaking on the House floor, actually sitting on the House floor, Bachmann raised concerns about the school-based health clinics, SBHC, discussed in Health Reform 3200, otherwise known as H.R. 3200. You guys know which one that is, don't you? Of course you do. And anyway, she goes on to say that H.R. 3200, this school-based health clinics discussed in H.R. 3200, were merely sex clinics designed to bring Planned Parenthood into the nation's schools. Though the bill specifically requires these clinics to follow federal, state, and local law concerning parental consent, understand that the bill specifically requires these clinics to follow federal, state, and local law concerning parental consent, Bachmann, who got elected a representative of the House of Representatives, the United States Congress, because she figured she could just say anything she wants on the floor of the House, because ain't that how Sarah Palin did it? Oh, you mean she was governor of Alaska? Well, something like that. Sheesh. Though the bill specifically requires those clinics to follow federal, state, and local law concerning parental consent, Bachmann claimed that the school-based health center might provide abortions without informing a student's guardian. And what is she basing that on? Nothing. Nothing. Why does she have to base it on anything? Well, I mean, she has a willing audience of people listening, and if Michelle Bachmann said it, by God, it must be solid gold. I mean, it must just have fallen out of her ass like a solid gold doorstop, man. There's no passage in the bill to support this claim, and Bachmann's office didn't immediately respond to her request. By the way, that request was from us because my producer, Jason Rantz, did his research on this. And they didn't respond to a request for clarification because Michelle Bachmann, who wouldn't last 2 seconds in a debate with anybody with an education above third grade, can't possibly engage on a lot of the crazy things that she says. Let's listen, shall we, to Michelle Bachmann as she speaks to, I don't know, oh, she's talking to the people in the... My question is this. Who was in the House of Representatives last night that they didn't stand up and say, excuse me, the kind, gentle lady or whatever the hell they call them, why don't you shove it sideways, okay? Anyway, here is Michelle Bachmann incoherently and incorrectly asserting that language in the health care bill will provide abortions for kids without parental consent.
Parents are going to be excluded from Planned Parenthood as they write these clinics because the bill orders that these clinics protect patient privacy and student records. What does that mean? It means that parents will never know what kind of counsel and treatment that their children are receiving. And as a matter of fact, the bill goes on to say what's going to go on. Comprehensive primary health services, physicals, treatment of minor, acute, chronic medical conditions, referrals to follow-up for specialty care. Is that abortion? Does that mean that someone's 13-year-old daughter could walk into a sex clinic, have a pregnancy test done,
be taken
away to the local Planned Parenthood abortion clinic,
have their abortion,
be back and go on home on the school bus that night?
Exactly.
Mom and dad are never the wiser.
Exactly.
They don't know any different.
They don't, and we're glad that you're supporting it, Michelle. Yes, that is abortion.
Dumb bitch.
Oh, my God. By the way,
why did we buy Alaska in the 1950s?
We'll have that coming up. Michelle Bachman will be weighing in on that. No, that's not what it means, Ms. Bachman, your kind, gentle lady ass ship. If you'd read the bill, which you have, you'd know that it's not in there, which you do know. See, that's the part that you guys may not know. That's the part that the people that put her in the House of Representatives may not know. Now, it's one thing if you're wrong. If you're wrong, well, you're an idiot. And if you're an idiot and you don't know how to read, then maybe they can move somebody out and put somebody else in there who can read, and they can say, oh, look at that. What I said last night there in the House, that's wrong because the thing is in here and it says that it, okay. But she knows that it's not in there. She knows that the H.R. 3200 conforms to federal, state, and local law concerning parental consent. She knows all of this. But why would she allow that to get in the way of a really juicy argument that is going to further delay and stall something that may help the country? I mean, if it doesn't help the country, folks, can we vote it down based upon the facts and not Michelle Bachman's latest mushroom hallucinations or her latest nefarious plot to elevate herself even higher than that piece of ass of all time, Sarah Palin? Because I got news for you, Michelle. As frightening looking as I think Sarah Palin is, she's got it all over you. I mean, if that's what it comes down to, and I got a feeling it does, in some sectors of the Republican Party, Sarah Palin's got you beat by a country mile. God, she's Marilyn Monroe compared to you. But that's neither here nor there. What we're talking about is giving the American people information that they can then go away and make an intelligent decision on. You do not serve anybody well when you lie, as I believe you did, on the House floor last night by saying that this has a sex clinic. It's almost like sex farm, you know?
Yes, thinking about that from Spinal Tap.
Working at a sex clinic, you know, where you can go in and get your abortion kitties free of charge and nobody's any the wiser. Oh, for God's sake. I'll tell you what, Bachman, give me a dragonet before you throw it away. All right, now coming back, it isn't all just about Michelle Bachman. A lot of conservatives are not happy with Obama because he's trying to get the Olympics for Chicago. Michelle Malkin, she's ready to spit. Democrats turn back a GOP health bill tax amendment. We'll find out about that, which is horse dung. I don't know. That's a whole other thing, man. These cats in the House of Representatives and in the Senate with this health bill, do you know the difference between a tax, a levy, a penalty? And then we got David Letterman, who's being extorted, and he reveals this tonight on his show, and we'll have the audio for you all ahead on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.
Welcome back to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. This is a radio show. It's a first. This is a first in the history of talk radio, this radio show. We've done a lot of things that are firsts on the Phil Hendry Show down through the years. This is a first, though. This is a talk show that presumes to try to become a viable commercial entity by telling you the absolute straight scoop. We're not putting it through the bent prism of a conservative or liberal viewpoint. We're not going to sacrifice information because it will undermine my credibility as a fill in the blank. Oh, I'm a conservative, so I better hold back this. I'm a liberal, so I better hold back this. I'm a conservative, so what I need to do is, since I did call Obama a Marxist, I better fill in all those blanks with every kind of photograph, every kind of half-truth, every kind of newspaper story. I have to connect the dots, even if I'm connecting the dots by way of New Delhi. You know, I'll connect those dots. That's what being a conservative or a liberal is. You understand? I got to connect the dots here, man, so I can show you where it's at. Connect the dots, Jack. All I got to do is walk across the room, man, and you got me going by way of Bangladesh. Why? I'm connecting the dots. Don't worry. Well, that ain't any kind of connecting the dots. I can get there just by stepping. No. Take it from me, man. The best way to walk across this room is to go by way of Memphis. Have you ever, did you ever see that movie, what was the thing that we saw the other night on TV with Tom Hanks?
Yeah, that was Castaway.
Yeah, that was a good movie.
Right, but you remember he was working for, who was it, bud?
Federal Express.
Federal Express, that's it. And do you know that Federal Express sends everything, no matter where it goes in the world, through Memphis? At least that's according to the movie. This was a number of years ago. I don't know if it's true anymore, but Federal Express, even if it's going to go from L.A. to San Francisco, if it's going to go to New York, from New York to Boston, that's my understanding. Now, that may make sense as a business model and as a way of transporting goods for Federal Express. I would never presume to tell them their business. But when it comes to telling people the truth about something, here is what is happening. Well, what is that, Phil? Michelle Bachmann is lying about the health bill, because that's what the opponents of the health bill have been doing, lying. And we've made examples of that. We've given examples of that down through these many weeks and months. She's lying just as they lie. It's okay. I understand. It's part of the political game they play in Washington. But I don't like it. I don't know of too many people that do like it. And it's practiced by both Republicans and Democrats. So if you think I got some soft spot in my heart for Democrats, stick around. Because I ain't even begun ripping that Grayson jackass a new ass, the way that guy has gone on and on about whose fault this is, that the whole thing is being ripped to shred. You know, you better start taking responsibility for some of this, Democrats. You guys dropped the ball on this so bad. There was a famous National Football League play back in the early 60s where George Mira of the San Francisco 49ers is dropping back to pass, and he's hit by Jim Marshall of the Minnesota Vikings, and he fumbles the ball. And Jim Marshall picks the ball up, and he runs with the football, as any good defensive lineman will do. The problem is, Jim Marshall didn't run toward his end zone. He ran toward the 49er end zone. And the result was 2 points for the 49ers. And that's what the Democrats have done with this health care bill. A good bill. In other words, the Vikings had a good defense. And there's a good bill. And in comes the Viking defense. In comes the health care bill. And there's a fumble. There's a fumble by the Republicans. And what is the fumble by the Republicans? They haven't got a plan. If you locked them in a pit of their own filth and told them they aren't coming out until they got a plan, they wouldn't have a plan. And they know it, and you know it, and I know it. And don't tell me co-op is the plan. Some things the Republicans did really well. Kick the crap out of Saddam Hussein. I applaud that, man. I support that 3,000,000%. Go after Al-Qaeda, man. I'm completely with that. Some stuff the Republicans still ain't got their, they haven't been able to wrap their muscle around, you know? So in comes the health care plan, like the Minnesota Viking defense. Boom! They hit the quarterback. He fumbles the ball. The Republicans fumble the ball. They got no plan. They pick it up, and they're ready to run into the end zone. And what do? Nancy Pelosi grabs it, or Harry Reid, or another one of these jackasses like this Grayson, and they run into the opposition end zone for a safety. You want to know what's going on with this plan? You can talk all you want about how the Republicans are spreading a lot of misinformation, which they are. And you know something? If you are a patriotic American and you care about the country, I hope you never forget either. I hope you never forget it. Now, I'm going to play for you a good guy. This is a good guy. This is a Republican by the name of Lindsey Graham. I never thought I'd say this about Lindsey Graham. In fact, there's a lot of stuff that Lindsey Graham says that I don't agree with. But by God, when a man is open-minded and a man is fair-minded, and a man understands what's at stake and what needs attention and what is chicken crap, that guy gets my vote. Lindsey Graham was talking about the birthers. You know who they are, don't you? That's another group of people that have been wasting our time, our precious time and our precious dollars and our, you know, just wasting minutes and hours and weeks and months of our time with their bull crap about Obama not being born here. Here is Lindsey Graham yesterday talking about the birthers.
The people who are doing unfair and unkind things to the president, it says more about them than it does the Republican Party. But here's what the Republican Party has to do. Now, this is, I think, a good point. We have to say that's crazy. So I'm here to tell you that those who think the president was born somewhere other than Hawaii, you're crazy. He's not a Muslim. He's a good man. And let's knock this crap off and talk about the real differences.
He went on to say that he took exception to some who've hoped the president would fail overall and lamented the direction of the Republican Party in general. This is a guy that you need in your party because he recognizes something's got to change in that party. The Democrats need to change a few things, too. But they're too stupid right now, fat and happy with victory. They think everything is just going swimmingly, man. They have no idea that they're walking into the Super Bowl, man. They got a game plan for a Pop Warner game. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. Coming up, Representative Pelosi defends Grayson. Wait till you hear this stuff on the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry. You're listening to the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Just a note to my producer, you didn't send me anything. You sent me a definition of what I don't know, okay? So if we're looking for definitions, what we're doing here, folks, is we're getting definitions. I think I know what a tax is. Do you know what a tax is as opposed to a fee, as opposed to a levy? I do. And this has become a topic of discussion around the Senate Finance Committee and certain members of Congress as they try to make political hay and try to win brownie points, all while debating the health care bill. Now, I got to tell you, I stand here before God, Jesus Christ, anybody you want to talk about, convinced, absolutely convinced, that no matter who, no matter what, no matter how, and no matter when, anybody wants to take me on about this stuff, I'm happy to, I'll talk to anybody, because I got everybody's number on this. In fact, the stuff I'm talking about is so far beyond the grasp of the average jackass who has a TV show or radio show. I don't think these guys, they wouldn't show up for the fight. When you have something important that you're talking about for the country, and you have a guy standing there and he says, well, I want my constituents to know that I am going to make it so anybody under $250,000 a year will not be required to pay these levies. Oh, did I call them taxes? I meant to say levies. Now, you may say to yourself, what's Phil talking about? Well, I'm talking about what happened today as they're trying to hammer out some compromise on some aspect to the health reform bill. There's a senator there or a congressman. And he wants to make sure that he gets his ass kissed today by the people back there, back at home, and whoever else is a heavy hitter in his party. And using that magic number of $250,000, which was used in the campaign by Obama, when he said that he wouldn't raise taxes on families over who are earning, actually he said families who were earning $350,000 or less, and individuals $250,000. He said he wanted to make sure that nobody who made under $250,000 wasn't going to pay these taxes. Well, he knows they're not talking about taxes. He knows that they're talking about levies, and they're talking about fees. Now, what's the difference between a tax and a levy and a fee? You may not think there's a difference. There is a difference. And frankly, I can't think of an intelligent human being not understanding there's a difference between a tax and a fee and a levy. George Stephanopoulos, that little midget that was interviewing Obama the other day, he was so confused, he had to get out Webster's right there in the middle of an interview with the President of the United States. Let me tell you what a tax is. A tax is an ongoing and equitably applied, and I'm not pulling this out of any book. I'm telling you what it is. It is an ongoing and equitably applied cost or required payment for services from an entity like a government. Now, we may have a disagreement as to whether those services are being delivered. We may have a disagreement as to whether it is equitable. All of these things we can discuss at another time, in another place, and we can have ourselves just a barrel of a good time doing it. But the in principle, a tax is a the cost equitably distributed among the people of the country to pay for the services rendered by the government. Okay. And this is ongoing. This goes on and on and on and on and on and on until we all die. And in some instances, after we die. In fact, in most instances, after we die, if we've got any money at all when we die. What is a fee? What is a fee? A fee is what you pay for something. Well, what's the difference between that and a tax, Phil? A fee, I'm going to get a fee. I'm paying my fee for my driver's license, huh? I'm not paying every bloody quarter for my driver's license. I'm not paying my driver's license taxes. I got my fee. I laid it on the lady. She's given me my driver's license. I'm paying a fee, an annual fee, so that I may license my automobile. Now, what's a levy? A levy, for want of a better description, is a penalty. If I levy you, you know, what was that song by the band Virgil Caine? Was that, oh, that's a different song.
Yeah, that's Driving Down to Dixie or something.
No, they're not the old Dixie on down. Well, what the hell am I talking about a levy for?
I don't know.
All right. Anyway, a levy's a penalty. And in the context of the health reform bill, it is as follows. If you don't get health insurance, you're levied. You're penaltied for it. You have to pay a penalty. We all pay penalties. We pay penalties for early withdrawal. We pay penalties if we don't pay our taxes on time. We pay we pay a penalty if we don't pay our bills on time. We're always paying penalties. You know what a penalty is? Levy. They're levying a certain amount of money. When you get a congressman who is not interested in anybody getting any real information, but he's only interested in making sure that he gets his rear end kissed up one side and down the next when he gets back to Busted Whistle, Arkansas, or wherever he's from, and he talks to the local radio station talk show host, or he's interviewed by the Busted Whistle Bugle, and they do a whole editorial on what a fantastic guy he is. He's not interested in whether you know the difference between a tax, a fee, a levy, a penalty, or anything else. He just wants to lump it all into that big magic word tax because he knows everybody understands what that is. And then he's going to say, and I want to make sure that no one has to pay these taxes who makes under $250,000. He's not talking about taxes. That's not what the Senate Finance Committee was arguing. They were arguing levies. They were arguing fees. There was very specific language that they were talking about. Why am I getting crazy about this, you guys? I'm going to keep on getting crazy about this stuff. You got to know when somebody is yanking your chain. You know, I've said it before. These guys are the least of your problems. You got these bastards on television doing talk shows who are lying through their teeth. Last night, I had a lady call up. I said to her, do you realize the irony of this? Because she was defending Glenn Beck. I said, yeah, sure, Glenn's a great guy, but he's not too bright. Oh, no, 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 Glenn. Oh, no, no. She was just a fan, right? I said, I find it ironic that you will call up a talk show and you'll really go to bat for some guy that's making, oh, God knows, 20 times more than any cat in Washington. He doesn't have to answer to any constituency. He doesn't have to adhere to any particular rules or regulations. He doesn't have to be responsive to voters or anything. He's just a guy on TV doing a show, and you are ready to go and do battle for this guy. But your elected representative who's back in Washington making nowhere near the kind of bread that cat makes, this guy's a douchebag and a liar and a thief, and they're all crooked and they're all lying in their pockets. You know, this de facto, this knee-jerk argument about politicians, I think it's getting a little dull. And I think what needs to be done now is to take a look at where the real bullcrap is flowing, man. I mean, is it really that the horse's ass on Capitol Hill, man, or is it that horse's ass on TV that's spilling all this stuff? Why am I talking about this? Because this guy that said he was going to make sure that people weren't going to get taxed for under $250,000, when in point of fact they weren't talking about taxes, this jackass sooner or later wants to wind up on television, man, so he can really get it going. The Senate Finance Committee narrowly defeated a Republican attempt to exempt most Americans from tax increases to pay for the U.S. health care overhaul, underscoring the friction over how to fund the legislation. The panel voted 12 to 11 to reject what Chairman Max Baucus warned was a killer amendment by Idaho Republican, and here's a perfectly named, aptly named guy, Mike Crapo.
That ain't how you pronounce it.
Oh, okay. What is it, Crapo? All right. So excuse me, Mike. I got to go take a crepe. Mike Crapo to shield households earning less than $250,000 annually from at least three levies contained in the bill, including a penalty for people who fail to obtain insurance. If you fail to obtain insurance under the present health reform bill, there's no penalty. So, in other words, there's no point in having the bill. And Mike Crapo, this is how he's going to get his ass kissed and patted on the head and given an extra sugar cookie before bed with all the heavyweights of the Republican Party to say, look at how I really screwed this thing up, man. I said there's not going to be any levies. And guess what? If there's no levies, there's no penalty. If there's no penalty, that means there's no bill because people don't have to have insurance. And Baucus saw this guy coming, although it was a 12 to 11 vote. Even Bloomberg is confused, calling it increased taxes, and it isn't. There's nothing in the story about that. Crapo's amendment would also have exempted households earning less than $250,000 from proposed new higher penalties on withdrawals from health savings accounts that aren't used to pay health care costs and restrictions on deducting medical expenses. These are penalties. These are levies. These are not taxes. And people can say, oh, Phil, what's the look at, you know, either people want the truth or they don't. I'm telling you right now, either you want the truth or you don't. If you want to know what a tax is, you got to tax. You think there's a difference or there's no difference between a tax and a levy. Let me tell you this much. A levy, a penalty that you are paying because you were late paying your taxes is something you pay in lieu of further penalty, which could include imprisonment. If you don't pay your taxes, you don't go to prison. You get penalized. But if you don't pay your penalty, you go to prison. There's the difference in a nutshell. And Mike Crapo or Crapo or whatever the hell it is he's named. And I, you know what? That can't possibly be Italian. It's got to be some kind of an Albanian deal.
Yeah.
He's not interested in what the difference is. All he's interested in is making sure that he gets that magic number, $250,000 a year or less, because, A, that makes Obama look like a jackass, because here's a Republican who is trying to protect people making less than $250,000 from an Obama tax, which is not what it is. But he doesn't care because he's not interested in what is true, what is actually in the bill, what are the statements of fact. He's just playing politics, baby, you know? He's playing the Republican-Democrat game. They're doing that dance. And if it slows the country down, that's okay. If it drags the country right into a muddy ditch, that's okay. If the country is frozen and stalled at this point for 5, 6, 7 years, it doesn't make any difference as long as they win, huh? And if there's people continually paying out of pocket or paying more in premiums because of uninsured people, he doesn't care, man, because he wins. And if there are people who are increasingly going broke by virtue of the fact that their health care is costing them so much, and as the result, there are insurance businesses that can't compete because the bigger businesses are getting bigger and the little ones are getting littler. And if there are people going without health care and suddenly all those old people are dying that jackasses like him were saying we're going to die if the Democrats got their health care bill passed, he doesn't give a damn because he won. He won and they lost. And if the country is the result of $2.5 trillion in health care costs a year, lags increasingly behind the other industrialized and modern first world countries of the world until by the middle of the 21st century, the United States is nothing more than another Canada. He doesn't care because he won. His party won and the other guy's party lost. You see? And that's cool with him. And I'll tell you something else. If this jackass, be he a Democrat or a Republican, is still around and we can look at him and we can say, with your foot dragon and your game plan, look where America is today. We might as well be Sweden. Everybody else outpacing us. Everybody else kicking our ass in the international marketplace. We might as well go back to raising reindeer, man, and growing corn for all it's good. Look what you did. You know what he's going to say even on his deathbed? Yeah, but the Democrats on his deathbed. That's where we're headed. That's where we're going. Now, in the middle of the 20th century, this was healthy. We needed it. We needed to differentiate ourselves from the multi-party cacophony that was going on in the rest of the world's burgeoning democracies. We needed to differentiate ourselves from the insanity of the German Republic, the craziness of the French Republic. You know, they were all following our lead, and our lead was basically no factionalism. Factionalism is bad, and if we got to have factionalism, okay, two parties max. But even two parties, the Republicans and the Democrats, are killing this country slowly. And I'll keep talking about it, and I will continue to keep making sense, even though this country right now is not ready to let loose of the very thing it says it wants to. Even the people that want bipartisanship are not even close to being ready to letting go of bipartisanship. Because the automatic response is, I want to be bipartisan, but that other jackass, see. All right, eight, maybe that's bipartisan. Let's everybody be a jackass. 877-876-PHIL. 877-876-PHIL. We'll be back on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show with Pelosi and this guy Grayson and their dance. And then we'll move past some of this stuff going on in Washington. David Letterman says he's being extorted with a woman that he slept with. I don't know what's wrong with it. Oh, you mean he's married? Okay, never mind. And more from Elizabeth Smart and others, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Our bitch, the Phil Hendry Show.
And if that ain't enough to get me out of my mind, to get me beside myself, ready to just start chewing on the furniture, chewing on the curtains around this place, now they have the gall to say I evolved from a chimpanzee. How about that?
Yeah, I don't believe that. I'm creationism.
What do you mean you're creationism, man?
Yeah, it's called creationism, man. I know what it is.
Oh, you creationist?
Yeah, I think that God made us, don't you?
Well, there's a lot of ways that God could have made us, man. You know, maybe he made us and then he evolved us or something.
What are you talking about? That don't make no sense.
What do you mean it doesn't make any sense? Maybe he made us, but it took a while to make us.
Yeah.
All right, so he started out with a chimpanzee and he went, no, that's no good. And then he made it, maybe he put a bowler hat on it. Aha, there you go.
He put a hat on it. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, that makes sense. See, that makes sense to you, doesn't it?
Yeah.
That makes sense to you that God's making us, then put a bowler hat on us and said, aha, that's what I want.
Well, yeah, that's what I mean, he made man.
What about all the monkeys he made before that?
That wasn't us.
Those are the models that he made until he figured out what he wanted to make.
You understand, man? It's like, yeah, I understand. But then when he put a suit on us.
Look, and he didn't put a suit on us, man. That's what you think. You think God started out and put a bowler hat and a vest and a tie on a monkey and went, oh, well, that's a man.
No, he made a man and then put a hat on it.
I don't even think God put a hat on it. I don't even want to get into that, man. All I'm trying to say here is that some of these guys think that I evolved from a chimpanzee. Well, that just about tears it. Anyway, move over Lucy, according to the Miami Herald, a 4-foot-tall female nicknamed Artie, who lived 4.4 million years ago. I thought Artie was a guy's name.
Yeah.
I guess it's a chick's name. Oh, A-R-D-I, okay. Who lived 4.4 million years ago in Africa, has replaced Lucy as the earliest best-known ancestor of the human species. Artie's nearly complete skeleton is a million years older than Lucy's, pushing back the point where hominids, that would be us, bud, pre-human primates, are known to have split from the evolutionary line that led to chimpanzees and gorillas. An international team of scientists lied on Thursday. No, I'm kidding. That's what they say. In other words, they thought we split away from the other apes of the Earth 3 million years ago. Now it turns out it maybe was 4 million years ago, because we know that the earliest trace of the hominid is about 7 million years ago, And about a million years ago, we had spread from Africa to Australia. So about a million years ago, we had finished our little Southern Asian trek from Africa down to Australia. And there's amazing stuff being done right now with DNA where I wish I could describe this better to you guys, but it's a mind trip. They are literally now tracing the various routes that man took out of Africa. And they are using as the signposts certain DNA code. And so literally they have like one road, if you will, with a DNA code of say M96 travels across the south of Asia. There's another one that splits off and goes up into northern Asia and eventually crosses the Bering Strait. Another that sort of goes up into Mesopotamia, another one that goes up into the Ural Mountains. And they're gradually, literally mapping the route, various routes taken by the human family as we emerged from Africa and began our global trek. And it's a trip. I'm going to find the article. I'll bring it in, or I will at least find the name of it and recommend it to you. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. Coming back, Nancy Pelosi and Grayson. What a pain in the ass these people are. Whoopi Goldberg clarifies her rape comments about Roman Polanski. Well, ain't that nice of her. Next on the Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.